This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah. Dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to another episode of The Life of Aisha, Mother of the Believers, radiallahu anha, with me, your host, Fatima Barakatullah. Now, in the last episode, we ended with a timeline recap of the life of Aisha radiallahu anha so far. And we reached the 11th year of Hijrah. Now, the 11th year of Hijrah is when Aisha radiallahu anha was around 18 years old. And this is when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became ill. Perhaps during his illness or before it, Fatima radiallahu anha visited the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Aisha radiallahu anha says about this, "We, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were all with him on one occasion, and not one of us was absent. Then Fatima radiallahu anha came walking, and by Allah, her manner of walking was like that of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The way she walked was like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When he saw her, he welcomed her and said, 'Welcome to my daughter,' then seated her to his right or to his left. Then he whispered something to her and she wept greatly. And when he saw how sad she was, he whispered something else to her and she smiled. I, out of all of his wives, said to Fatima, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam singled you out from all of us to whisper something to you. Then you wept. When the Messenger of Allah left, I asked her, 'What did he whisper to you about?' She said, 'I will not disclose the secret of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam.' Then later on, when he passed away, I asked her about it again, and she said, 'Now, yes, I will tell you.' And she told me. She said, 'As for when he whispered to me the first time, he told me, Jibreel used to review the Quran with me once every year, but this year he reviewed it with me twice. I think this portends my death, and you will be the first of my family to follow me.' She said, 'So I wept, as you saw me weep. But when he saw how upset I was, he whispered to me a second time and said, 'Oh Fatima, does it not please you to be the leader of the women, or the leader of the believing women in paradise?' And I laughed for that." SubhanAllah. So see this very intimate moment, this intimate discussion where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his last year, knew that he was going to pass away, and he informed Fatima radhiyallahu anha of all people about this. On Monday, the 29th of Safar, in the 11th year of Hijrah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam participated in funeral rites in for the people of he visited the people in the in Uhud. The graves in Uhud, and then he went to fulfill some funeral rites in Baqi'. On the way back, he had a headache. His temperature rose very high. He led the Muslims in prayer for 11 days, even though he was sick. The total number of days in which he was suffering this illness were about 13 or 14 days. And Aisha narrates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came back from a funeral in Al-Baqi', and I had a headache and was saying, "Oh, my head." And he said, "Rather, I should say, 'Oh, my head. It will not matter if you die before me, for I will wash you and shroud you, and then I will offer the funeral prayer for you and bury you." And Aisha radhiyallahu anha narrates that she then became annoyed, and she said, something like, "You know, would you be happy that I pass away? Then you could go and be with your other wives, right?" And, you know, she made, the Prophet ﷺ made a joke about this. Aisha radiallahu anha said, I never saw anybody suffering so much from sickness as Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the last week of his illness, his sickness grew severe, and every day he would ask his wives, where will I stay tomorrow? Where will I stay tomorrow? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ill. He was suffering, and he had become so weak that he kept asking, what day is it tomorrow? When who am I going to be staying with tomorrow? Because obviously he used to alternate between his wives, to be fair to them. But the wives understood that he preferred to stay at Aisha radhiyallahu anha's house. And so they all gave up their days in order for him to be able to stay in the house of Aisha radhiyallahu anha. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in these final days, he moved to Aisha radhiyallahu anha's house. And he was so weak by this time that his cousins, Al-Fadl bin Al-Abbas and Ali bin Abi Talib, had to support him on their shoulders and literally lift him up for this final walk of his. He had a cloth, some kind of headband around his head, and he was dragging his feet because he was so weak until he came into her house. And it was there with our mother Aisha that he spent the last week of his life. Again, highlighting the closeness he felt to Aisha, the fact that he knew that she would nurse him the best. During that period, our mother Aisha tells us that she used to recite the Mu'awwidhat, Surah Falaq and Surah Nas, over the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says, when his illness was aggravated, I used to recite those two surahs and blow my breath over him and make him rub his body with his own hands for its blessing. So she was involved in trying to treat the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through dua, ruqya, through any kind of medicinal things that she knew about her, because she knew about herbal medicine due to all of the visitors that used to come and delegations to the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She was always asking them about different remedies, about different beneficial herbs and things like that. 5 days before his death, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a speech in the masjid. He told people not to make his grave a place of worship. He ordered that the idolaters be expelled from Arabia. He also exhorted the Muslims to be good to the Ansar. Then he said, Allah the Great has given a slave of his the opportunity to make a choice between whatever he desires of Allah's provision in this world and what he keeps for him in the next world. But he has opted for the latter, meaning that the slave has opted for the latter, has chosen the latter. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, upon hearing that, Abu Bakr started to cry. And he said, let our fathers and our mothers be taken as ransom for you. And Abu Sa'id says, we wondered, why was Abu Bakr getting so upset? Why was he saying such a thing? And the people began to say, look at this old man. About Abu Bakr, the Messenger of Allah says about a slave of Allah who was granted the right between the best fortunes of this world and the bounty of Allah in the hereafter. But he says, we sacrifice our fathers and mothers for your sake. So they didn't understand why was he saying this in response to what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said. And Abu Sa'id said, it was later on that we realized what he had meant. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the slave who was being given the choice by Allah. We also acknowledged that Abu Bakr was the most learned amongst us. Again, we see Abu Bakr, the father of Aisha, is the most attuned of the Sahaba to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He immediately understands what he is saying. And of course here, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was telling them that he had been given the choice between staying in this world or meeting Allah, and that he had chosen the latter. Abu Bakr realized the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was close to death. And that's why, of course, he had exclaimed in such a way. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Behold, of all people, the most generous towards me with regards to his companionship and his property was Abu Bakr. If I were to make close friendship with anyone other than Allah, I would have Abu Bakr as a bosom friend of mine. But he is my brother and my companion." So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam became emotional as well with his sense of love and connection to Abu Bakr when he saw how upset Abu Bakr was and knowing that, you know, they would part from this world. And he then said, "No gate shall be kept open in the masjid except that of Abu Bakr." So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he had a number of houses, right? We said that he had, his wife Habiba bint Kharija, who he had a house with her in the suburbs of Medina. And one of his houses was adjacent to the western wall of Masjid al-Nabawi. And there was a door or a gate that opened out into the masjid. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, "Leave that door open so that Abu Bakr can have access to me anytime, even throughout my illness." And this really shows the special status that he had. And it also, another way to explain it is, Abu Bakr, of course, was the mahram of Aisha radiallahu anha, right? So Aisha's family members, especially Abu Bakr, they would have no problem entering and exiting her house, right? Because they could see her even without a curtain, even without hijab, right? And so this shows you the special status of Aisha radiallahu anha and her family, especially in the final days of Rasulullah. After the break, we will look at the rest of the story of the passing of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until then, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Brothers and sisters, one of the things you notice is that anyone who is given a special status by Allah is also expected to serve more, to do more, to sacrifice more. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, she was special, but she also served the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam the most. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became so ill that he could no longer lead the prayers, he commanded, "Tell Abu Bakr to lead the prayer." Aisha said, "He is a soft-hearted man and will not be able to lead the prayer in your place." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said again, "Tell Abu Bakr to lead the people in prayer." And he became annoyed and insisted that Abu Bakr must lead the prayer. Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Allah's messenger ordered Abu Bakr to lead the people in the prayer during his illness. And so he led them in prayer." Her nephew Urwa bin Az-Zubair comments, "Allah's messenger felt a bit relieved and came out, and Abu Bakr was leading the prayer. When Abu Bakr saw the Prophet, he retreated, but the Prophet beckoned him to remain there. Allah's messenger sat beside Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was following the prayer of Allah's messenger, and the people were following the prayer of Abu Bakr." So again, you see here the special status of Abu Bakr and the special status of Aisha radiallahu anha and her family. Then on the final day of his illness, Anas bin Malik narrates, the Prophet did not come out for 3 days. The people stood for the prayer and Abu Bakr went ahead to lead the prayer. In the meantime, the Prophet caught hold of the curtain and lifted it. So there was a curtain between Aisha's house or her courtyard and the masjid, right? And so he lifted the curtain. When the face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam appeared, we had never seen a scene more pleasing than the face of Rasulullah as it appeared then. The Prophet beckoned to Abu Bakr to lead the people in the prayer. And then he let the curtain fall. And he says, we never saw him again till he died after that. So you see, Aisha radiallahu anha, all this time, she would have been serving the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, comforting him, bringing him whatever he needed, you know, looking after him as an ill person. And then the moment of death came. Just before, Abdurrahman bin Abi Bakr, Aisha's brother, he entered. Aisha says, when the pangs of death started, she leaned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against her. She leant him against her. And she used to say, one of Allah's bounties upon me is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died in my house while I was still alive. He died between my chest and my neck. While he was leaning against me, Allah allowed his saliva to mix with mine at his death. And the reason for this, Aisha's brother, Abdurrahman, the son of Abu Bakr, came in with a siwak, right? Which is like a little small branch of a tree, right? That is used for brushing teeth, or the root of a desert plant used for brushing teeth. So he came in with a siwak in his hand. And she says, while I was leaning the Messenger of Allah against me, he came in with a siwak in his hand. I noticed that he was looking at the siwak. She noticed the Prophet ﷺ is looking at the siwak. So I asked him, for I knew that he wanted it, would you like me to take it for you? He nodded in agreement. I took it and gave it to him. Again, you see how Aisha radhiallahu anha is so attuned. She knows that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loves siwak, and so she knew that that's what he wanted. Because it was too hard for him, she said, I asked him, shall I soften it for you? He nodded in agreement. So I softened it with my saliva, and he passed it on his teeth. In another version, she says, so he brushed his teeth as nicely as he could. There was a water container available at his hand with some water in it. He put his hand in it and rubbed his face with the water. And he said, La ilaha illallah, inna lilmawti lasakarat. Death is full of agonies. There is no God but Allah, and death is full of agonies. Eventually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sadly passed away. In one narration, Aisha radhiallahu anha didn't realize that he had died, because she says she'd never seen a person die like this in front of her. She thought that he was unconscious in her lap, but eventually, you know, she put him down gently. Umar and Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah, they came to the door, to the curtain, and they came to ask about him. Mughira recognized that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, and this is when Umar radiallahu anhu famously began to shout and get upset and angry and deny that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had passed away, and he said, it's just the hypocrites trying to cause trouble. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will surely return. He's just gone away, like Musa alayhi salam went away, right? Anyway, then Aisha radiallahu anha says that Abu Bakr came in. He came riding his horse from his dwelling place in the suburb of Medina. He got down from it. He entered the mosque. He did not speak a word to anyone until, she says, he came to me and went directly to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was covered with a marked blanket. Abu Bakr, Aisha's father, uncovered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's blessed face. He knelt down and kissed him on his forehead, and then started to weep and said, my father and my mother be sacrificed for you, O Allah's Prophet. Allah will not combine two deaths on you. You have died the death which was written for you. And then it was at this point that Abu Bakr, you know, once he had met Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and cried and come to terms with the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came out as the leader that he was, and he told Umar to be quiet, and he told him to sit down. Then he began to recite the tashahhud. Abu Bakr turned to the people and he said, "Amma ba'd, whoever amongst you used to worship Muhammad, then indeed Muhammad is dead. But whoever amongst you worshipped Allah, Allah is alive and will never die." And then he recited the verses of Quran, "Wama Muhammadun illa Rasul, qad khalat min qablihi rusul. أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَقِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَضُرَّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ." Muhammad is but a messenger. There have been messengers before him. So if he dies or is killed, will you turn back on your heels? Whoever turns back on his heels can never harm Allah in the least. And Allah shall soon reward the grateful. And this is in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 144. The narrator of this hadith adds, "By Allah, it was as if the people never knew that Allah had revealed this verse before, till Abu Bakr recited it. And then whoever heard it started reciting it." So the words of Allah were the thing that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu used to bring home to the people the reality of what had happened. And then the people started realizing the enormity of what had happened. Aisha radiallahu anha narrates, "Allah's messenger was shrouded in three Yemeni white cotton garments. And there was neither a shirt nor a turban in those garments, simple garments." And Aisha radiallahu anha, of course, she had been with him for a week continuously. She'd nursed him, given him medicinal remedies. She had done ruqya. She served him right till the end. And she was the person who he wanted to spend his final days with. She was the one who he complained to of his pain. He asked her to give charity on his behalf, and all the matters that he wanted to fulfill before his death, he did from the house of Aisha radiallahu anha. After his death, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was buried in her house, and she continued to live there. In the Muwatta of Imam Malik, it says that Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "I saw in a dream three moons fall into my room, and I related my vision to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Then when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, may Allah be pleased with him, may Allah grant him peace, and was buried in my house, Abu Bakr said to me, 'This is one of your moons, and he is the best of them.'" Inshallah, in the next episode, we will look at the impact of the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not just on the Ummah, but on the life of Aisha radhiyallahu anha, the immense sense of personal loss that she felt. And we will see how our mother Aisha radhiyallahu anha emerged after the death of Rasulullah, and the incidents that she was involved in after that. جزاكم الله خيرا والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك